He keeps wishing me to break my leg. Well, as I sang during the announcements, I hope we're all getting ready for the feast and looking forward to God's holy days to get us inspired, realizing that we're ready and we're getting down to the final run. This is God's fourth day of the Feast of Trumpets. That was right, correct? It is the Feast of Trumpets. And with that, Jesus Christ will return. So we're certainly looking forward to that day. So today I thought I would talk about something. But first I want to tell a story. You know, when you're young and you're doing things and you're in sports or whatever else it is, and you see people get really good in sports and they get better and better, and then all of a sudden they take a slump. You might see some pros do that in batting or in their yardage they're gaining or whatever else it is. And you know, that's what we have to worry about, that we don't get a slump. Because if we get in a slump, we could be in trouble. But we do know how to get out of it. And basically what a coach does whenever they're doing this, I used to coach softball and basketball years ago for the church in the YOU program. And the thing that you do when you see someone in a slump or whatever you want to call it, you take them aside and you say, hey, why don't you go back to the basics? Because you see, sometimes people get so good, they don't think they need to do what they did before. You know, they get fancy, they do fancy layups or fancy shooting or whatever, and they think they're invisible. But a lot of times, all they need to do is just someone remind them, say, hey, get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. Quit trying to be a star. Just go back to your stance you used to use in batting or how you used to shoot. Quit trying to do the fancy stuff before you get to the net. You know, so people go, ooh, ah. You know, just do the basics. And when you can get someone to do that, and even you hear about pros who do that, they'll go to other pros and other people who are coaching them to get back to the basics, which they had down pat. But they forgot because they got so wrapped up in the oohs and ahs and all that that people give them whenever they do the fancy stuff. So today, I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew 22, if you would. And we need to look at a few things in our life. We need to look at preparing for the wedding feast that God is preparing for each of us who make it into His kingdom. And you know, sometimes we in the church start out real fast and loving it, and you're just whatever God says I'm doing, and that's good. That's what we should be doing. But then we get down the road and we say, well, I didn't pray today, but that's okay. You know, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I got real busy and I wasn't able to study like I should, or, you know, It's important, but it's not as important as it used to be. Well, you know, it does happen. It doesn't happen overnight. Nothing happens overnight. But when you hear God's word and instruction, we must understand that it's your life and my life and our life has to be God's way. That's what we said when we came into church. That's what we said when we took baptism. I'm so glad that I can see this. Man, I never understood that before. But it's so clear now. You know why? Because you're willing to change just like that. I give a little bit of advice to young married couples. And I walk up to them, and, you know, of course, they're just so lovey-dovey, and, you know, they can't do nothing wrong. I remember when they were like that just a few years ago. Now, he's still that way, see? That's good. But, you know, I tell them, because, you see, when you're young and you see that beautiful girl or you see that real handsome guy that you just can't wait to be with, you will do flip-flops to get their attention and to please them. And that is good. That is good. The only problem is, sometimes when you get starry-eyed, you're not looking clearly. And I always tell the young people, you know, if you ever see the slightest thing when you're dating that just bothers you just a little bit, where's the man or the woman, tell them. Because you tell them in a loving way. You say, well, I don't like that when you do that, or whatever it could be. It should be something minor. Don't get me wrong. But the trouble is, if you go on 10 years or 5 years, and all of a sudden you haven't talked about it, the man says, how come you do that? I never have liked that. And the person's going, huh? I didn't know that. Or the vice versa. You know, they didn't know it. Because what? You didn't tell them until it became an annoying thing. So I tell them, I said, what you need to do when you're getting married is you need to be totally honest about the smallest thing. Because small things become big things. And big things is what causes division. Because one's saying, well, I didn't know that. You never told me that before, you know. I'm just trying to tell people how to make things better, because everything my wife and I told each other when we were dating, we do not do to this day. We do not do to this day. But we have one little problem. There was probably a lot of little things we should have talked about, which would have helped. And as you get older and wiser, hopefully, as these two lovebirds are right here, they talk openly and they both try to please everyone totally all the time. So that's what we have to do with God. God is telling us what he wants, and we're saying, oh, yes, sir, we want to do this and that. And then once in a while, since you didn't understand certain things, and as we grow, something sort of says, well, I've always done that. That's not too bad. I haven't gotten too much trouble. But God says it's wrong. Whereas the attitude says, yes, I want to do what God says. I want to repent now. Because I want to be in God's kingdom. We have to be looking towards the future. And if we're not looking towards the future, then we have a problem. Because that's where our whole life is. This is temporary. This life you and I live today is a temporary life. Approximately at the most, 100 years. God is offering you and I eternity. Eternity in a perfect atmosphere, perfect government, and perfect people all around you. What a blessing you and I have to understand that God wants you and I to be in his kingdom, a part of his family. And he lays it out for us in his word. That's why you and I must always continue in being humble before our God and serving him. Because when we do that, our problems will go away. We cause most of our problems. Whatever it can be something minor, or it can be something big. I remember when I came to Dayton, Ohio. Boy, this isn't good to tell, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. Ms. McLaughlin was right. I was pretty cocky. And I remember I'd never seen long hair. And this is back in the 70s, early late 60s. And being the nice young man I was, I went down the street and saw a guy with long hair, and I'd whistle. And I had a friend of mine who was with me who used to come down and visit his grandparents. And Eddie was walking beside me and said, "Hey, don't do that. You're going to get us hurt." And I said, "Well, that cute little pretty thing? What is that? Is that a boy? Is that a girl? What is that?" I'm down on Main Street Dayton doing this. Show how dumb I was. I hate to admit it. But I did. And I look back now and you say, "You idiot." And God let me see that I was an idiot. So, and I'm glad he did. Because where you come from, there are certain things. I'd never seen long hair before. I'd never seen a guy with long hair. I saw bowl cuts on most people, and you know, because it was a poor area. Other people had it done right, short, but it was short. At that time, I think I probably had a flat top. I used to have so much back here, I wanted to show a bald spot. Now I'd love to cover it up. But it's too late now. I had the hair to do it then. Now I don't. But it shows where you come from, how you think, and what you say. But see, it was such a far out thing from what I'd ever seen in my life. A person with long hair, as long as a woman's, I'm going like, why would they do that? You know? But you see, we have to change. We have to change. We have to learn to love, care, and give to everyone. Because God is love. And that's what he's teaching you and me. To love each of us here. Accept each of us here and accept the world. We don't want to do the world, but we have to be able to accept that one day they could be in God's kingdom and we could be training them, helping them. And it'll be out of love that we'll be doing it because we want them to see and understand and have the happiness that God has given you and me. Every time we come to services here in church on God's holy Sabbath day, we need to be saying, "Thank you, sir, thank you, thank you, thank you." Because you see, the world's out there in a mess that they do not know what is going on. You and I have a clear picture of what is going to happen. We know who's in charge. We know who the great God is, because out of his mercy, he has called you and I. He has chosen you and I. So when I see the Sabbath coming, we should be so excited because I get to come here and be with you, my family. I have a physical family at home, and I love being with them too. But with you, I know we're all thinking the same. We want to do God's will. We want to encourage each other. We want to help each other in any way that we can do it. And that's what a family does. I do that with my physical family, but the bond is not the same. I love them. I care for them. And they love me. But this is my family too. And see, they don't understand this family at this time. They do not understand my love for this family. They do not understand that. Now, they understand the physical loving their family, and I'm part of that family, but they probably think, well, he's a little odd, and Dave, he's just Dave. You know, he goes to church on Saturday, he still believes that stuff or whatever. But see, the difference between what they believe and you and I believe is God has opened our mind. And we are to come out of this world. I'll just refer you to Romans 12:1-2. Well, we'll read it. For it is a, wasn't in my notes, but came to mind, so. Go to Romans 12:1-2. You read it many times. This is what we're being told by the apostle. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In the very next verse it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to be willing to sacrifice our lives if we have to for God. And we're sacrificing for others, just as He had Jesus Christ sacrifice for you and me. Christ sacrificed for each and every one of us that our sins could be forgiven, that we can be a part of His family. Satan hates you and I. He hates anyone that God is working with and is obeying God. He wants nothing more than to destroy you. He wants you and I to fail as he did. He failed because he was, think about it, he's one of the archangels. And then he thought he was better than his creator. And look where he's at today. He's the worst of worst. He lies, he cheats, he steals. He doesn't put anything past him. It's all for him. And you know what he's doing? He's doing it in spite. Because he is not ever going to be a part of that great plan of the living God. You and I are going to be a part of that plan if we finish the race. That's what God has promised you and I. So I'm going back to basics. I want you to turn with me back to Exodus 20. Because sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. And since we're getting ready to go into God's holy days, let's go back to the basics. Very simple instructions from the living God. It's His 10 commandments, not His 10 suggestions. It's His 10 commandments. And they're given to us so that you and I can change and grow and have the love that He has. He has love for us, each and every one of us, and He gave this for not only the Israelites, but for all mankind. And this is the basics if we want to be in God's kingdom, from God to Father. Verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the God, Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, as you know, the Israelites came out with a high hand. But guess what? It didn't take them long to start complaining. And because they did, they had to wander 40 years. 40 years they wandered. So that none of those who rebelled would go through the Red Sea and be with them when God brought Israel together to be the great nation they would be. I never forget the first time I realized what it said right after they came across. They just come across. Of course, they started rebelling. Remember, Moses went up. What happens? Time to get done. They're building idols again. And he told them, he said, you have done this 10 times. He forgave them, but he didn't forget what they'd done. You have done this 10 times to me. We are blessed a lot more than the Israelites were. They were only given instruction on the Sabbath day, basically. That was their time to be taught. They didn't have books. They didn't have anything from there to there. And if it wasn't in a sermon, maybe, or something, they forgot quickly or they just didn't catch it. Have you ever taken notes and not caught it and you look at your notes later and say, wow, he did say that? That's why we always say to look at your notes afterwards, because you retain a lot more. So as we go along, God tells us what? First one, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. He is number one. He is perfect. And he's set the perfect example. And he sent his son to set the perfect example. That he could, as a physical being, because he knew the Father. He knew how great he was. And he came down here and suffered for you and me and all mankind. Never committed a sin. No matter what they said about him, what they were doing to him, even when they were beating him. What did he say on the cross? Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. You shall not make for yourself any carven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. As we look around, we see a lot of statues, a lot of everything that people who go to, they believe in something that's made out of some type of metal, wood, molded form, and they worship it. There's only one to be worshipped. God will not accept it. And you and I must truly keep that in mind. We must truly keep that in mind, because we need to have them in our heart. But you know, Satan is very deceptive, because you got to realize he convinced Adam and Eve to do what they shouldn't do, which was against God's will, and he walked with them. He was with them. He put them in a perfect surrounding, the Garden of Eden. They had everything they needed. And guess what? They were naked and didn't even know it. That's how pure they were. That's how pure they were. The God who created them created you and I. And he has a purpose for you and me. As it says, you're chosen, you and I, because we accepted God's calling, have been chosen to be a part of that divine family. It's up to you and I to finish the race. And you know, we're getting ready here for the feast days. And they picture God's plan. And we know the next plan is what? The Feast of Trumpets. Christ will return with glory. And whether we're dead or alive, if we're doing God's will, and if we're obeying and serving God, we'll be raised up from the dead, or we're changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we'll be with God and Jesus Christ and everything else that God has for us from that day forth. We need to keep that in mind always, because if it's in our mind, in our forethought, you and I will keep these commandments the best we can. We're still going to fail. Not that you want to, but as we grow closer to God, as we truly put on His strength and energy and the Holy Spirit working in us, when we sin, we will repent immediately. We will realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have had that thought, or I shouldn't have, why did I do that? And you'll go back to God, and hopefully we'll say, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. And ask it in Jesus' name. And God will forgive if we've truly repented. We are so blessed because God has given us His Word that we aren't like the Israelites. Every day we should have our eyes on this book, reading somewhere, gleaning the strength, the love for God, understanding how to love God and do His will, and then be the doer that God has called you and me, that talks about in James. We're to be the doer of His Word. We're to be the example. We're to be the light that He talks about in Matthew 5. I think it's 14:16. Christ was the light to us, and we're to be the light to the world. And when Christ returns and we're there, we will be the light to the world with Him. And we'll be with the greatest light ever. For in His holy city, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, He tells us that as big as it is, approximately 1,800 miles square, we will not have to have the sun or anything, because He will be that light. He will be that light, and we will be there, and will we ever be thankful to our Father? Because once we make it to God's kingdom, we will know how great He is. Barry gave a sermon not too long ago and showed the universe and all it's out there to get with these telescopes. You realize God knows every name for each one of those that He's made, just as He knows each and every one of our names. He knows each hurt you and I have. He knows each joy you and I have. Because He knows every hair on your head. What love. And that He gives His only begotten Son. And He has to die a horrible death so that you and I can be there. Because that's the only way we can do it. It was for Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. He became the sacrifice. And He did it willingly to please His Father, because He wanted His Father's will to be done. As we count our blessings, we need to do that daily. We need to stop. That's why we're to meditate sometimes. Stop and go outside and look on the Sabbath day or from your porch or where you're at, and you see the sun. Our God made that. Our God made everything. He made the trees that grow. He made everything, every animal, every insect, whatever. And someday we're going to be with that great God, our Father, forever. That's our goal. If it's not our goal, we're going to fail. If that's not our goal and we keep it as our goal, we will fail. God doesn't want you to fail. I don't want you to fail. That's because you're my brothers. I've known you brothers and sisters for years, some of you. And I don't want to fail. I know you don't want to fail. So we have to go to the basics sometime and go back and look and then take in all the other. As God shows you how you keep these commandments and shows us through His commandments how good they are for us. For if we put don't bow down to any gods or anything, guess what? We won't have any problems because we know who's God and we'll worship the true God always. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fatherless and the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Showing us mercy out of love, out of wanting us as children to do His will. Covers a lot. Third one is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And I know that since you live in this world, you hear plenty of people taking God's name in vain. And it strikes you, doesn't it? It strikes you. Because they're talking about your God, your Father, the one who's opened your heart and mind to His truth, the one who's blessed you, the one who's called you and has forgiven you and given each of us the opportunity, each of us to be forgiven and the opportunity to be in His kingdom as part of His family. The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and it is hallowed, and hallowed it. Now this commandment is the best commandment there ever was to help you and I stay close to God. You know why? Because you see, this is the commandment that Satan hates and has destroyed in people's minds. You go to all the other churches, they go along with 9 of those commandments. I'm not saying they're keeping them, but they go along with 9 commandments. And when they hit that one right there, It's like putting a red rug or a red thing in front of a bull. I mean, they want to tear that thing up every which way there is. I have a pamphlet I got. Someone gave me here not too long ago. It's called Roman Catholic and Protestant Confessions About Sunday. I've heard a few of these people. There's a lot of them in here, but I'm going to give you a couple of them. The Catholic Virginian, October 3rd, 1947, page 9. To tell you the truth. That's what it's called. And it says, for example, nowhere in the Bible do we find that Christ or the apostles ordered that the Sabbath be changed from Saturday to Sunday. We have the commandment of God given to Moses to keep the holy day Sabbath, keep holy the Sabbath day that is the seventh day of the week, Saturday. Today, most Christians keep Sunday. This is interesting from a Catholic, because it has been revealed to us by the Roman Catholic Church outside of the Bible. At least they're honest. It's outside the Bible. They cannot prove it within the Bible. They can run around it, do whatever they want, but they can't prove it. The only thing they can prove is that Saturday is God's holy Sabbath day. And that's the day you and I come before Him, the day that He has commanded us to. Here's another one. Let me see. Peter Getman, SSR, whatever all that means. The Converts, Catechism, and Catholic Doctrine, 1957, page 50. Question. Which is the Sabbath day? Answer. Saturday is the Sabbath day. Question. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transformed the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. They're not afraid. They blatantly come out about it. Satan has hated the Sabbath day because that keeps you and I closer to him every week. That's why he wants to destroy it. A family that stays together, as the old saying used to be, prays together and plays together. I have one more. This is by different churches here mentioned, but I'm just going on Catholic. And here's Dwight L. Moody. You probably heard of him before. It's called Wait and Warning, Fleming H. Rivel Company, New York, pages 47, 48. This is very interesting, I thought, when I read it. The Sabbath was binding in Eden. Think about it. It's the one thing that was binding in Eden at that point. Because God made it that day. Back in Genesis 2:2, he stopped all of his work. Let's read it. Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work in which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is his rest from all his work which God had created and made. So that is why Satan hates the Sabbath day so much. Because once he gets you going one way, He can push you the rest of the way. You have a crack in your armor. That's why it tells you in Ephesians, the whole armor of God. We have to have the whole armor. In Ephesians 5. Satan works so hard to get people, because once you break and get the world to follow you, it's just like they do today, and they try to say, why would you do that? Everybody else keeps Sunday. They know that Sunday's it. No, they've been told it's it. They do not know. They do not know. And someday you and I are going to have the opportunity to help a lot of them to understand everything of God's plan and where they come into it. And that's the Feast of Trumpets. We get taught. We go on our top of the living God. And we're sure what we're to do in Feast of Tabernacles, that 1,000-year period. And we're going to have a lot to do with them. Helping them come out of what they've come out of, which is probably the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. We're going to be showing them love, patience, kindness, letting them see and understand God's way of life. Because you got to realize, they're not going to trust anybody when they come in. What they've been through, have you seen people? You see the Special Force people that have been in all these wars? They have problems in their head. They've seen so much destruction, so much terrible things happen to people. And they can trust nobody. And I take it when they come up, are allowed to be in the Feast of Trumpets, those who went through all this, Feast of Tabernacles, I'm sorry, they will be in shell shock. And they're going to look at you like, who in the world are you? Where'd you come from? And, I'm to believe you, right? I've seen, and they have all these flashbacks. Think about it. They're still human. They're going to have flashbacks of what they've been through. And you and I are going to be the ones who help them to see and understand through love, kindness, tenderness, giving, and showing them in God's word and say, here's the living God. He loves you, and here's what he's done, and this is why you're here now, and we're here to help you. We're going to show you what God has for you and show the love that he had for you and for all mankind. He gave his son that you can be here. We will be teaching that. We will be helping them. So when we come to the Feast of Trumpets, we are just beginning to be a part of the army. Then we're going to be taught by the living God in atonement time. So we're going to understand our part that God has for you and I in his kingdom. We're future kings and priests. And we'll be helping those who don't understand. We'll be helping maybe loved ones later on. I'm looking forward to meeting a brother of mine in the second resurrection. I never met him. He died before I was born. I'm looking forward to being able to tell my dad, hey, here's how you need to raise him. Don't put him in bars. Don't do this and that. I played cowboys and Indians on back bar seats when I was a kid in a bar. We're going to teach them how to love their children. We're going to teach them how to love each other. We're going to be doing this as our job. We do not want to let Satan deceive us. We do not want Satan to get a hold of us and we not repent quickly, because we need him every step of the way. We need his Holy Spirit in us. And we can have it, because he's given it to us freely, with love. go back to Exodus 20 again. But see, that's the wrinkle that Satan loves to get into, is God's holy Sabbath day. Because that brings you and I back to God every week and back with our family. Our family, God's family that He's created here in Dayton area, we are a part of that. And every Sabbath is so holy because we sing praises to our God and He loves it. He loves the music these people perform when they do the music. For those who sing, He loves those who are given sermons, those who are doing, take care of food, helping feed the flock, those who help supply the food, those who put the things out on the announcement tables. There's a job for each and every one of us. We're not going to be standing around like they tell you in the churches when I was growing up. I'm going to be up there playing a harp. I didn't want to play a harp. Oh, I don't have musical ability. God would definitely have to give it to me. But see, that's what they try to make like, oh, you're just going to be up. Oh, yeah. No, you're not. You're going to be doing God's will. Just as Christ did, just as the apostles done, we're going to be a part of that family. What happens to all those universes and stuff out there? What part we're going to play? Man, we're going to find out. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. I try to imagine what it would be out there, you know. What we'll be doing, what He's going to create. And we're not just going to be there 100 years. We're going to be with God for eternity. It's a never-ending family. Well, see, that's the day that Satan really hits. Because if he can get us to quit coming back together and help each other, and hear God's word and be praising God together, which is pleasing to God in every way, because He loves you and He loves to hear from you. He loves to hear the praises. Who doesn't love to be praised? And everything we praise Him about is true because He is the great one. Now, as it tells you back in Matthew, it tells you about the first four commandments are to love God, and that's true. But from learning to love God, and once we have the Holy Spirit in us, the more we have of it, the more we're going to learn how to do the other six. With that Holy Spirit and with us growing and overcoming, we're going to become the peculiar people to this world. But we're going to become God's family. Because we're going to be just like Him. If we practice and do His will. Fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which your Lord, your God, is giving you. Now, as they always talk about, that's the first commandment that tells you that if you do something, your days will be long. Because you're doing God's will. You're honoring older people and especially your parents. And we're to honor those. And to understand and show love towards them, kindness towards them. I know in my case, I never expected to hit 65. All my family, men, died by the time they were 60. Because I remember a doctor asking me one time, because he's checking me for a cancer on something, and He said, how long do you expect to live? I just walked in the office. I'll never forget. I said, what? He said, how long do you expect to live? I'm going, like, what are you talking about? His urologist, what he was. So anyhow, I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, you're about 60 years old. He said, do you think you'll make it to 70? I said, well, not many of the family. I had one man out of the whole family and the whole generations that made it to, he made it to 70. He says, well, I said, well, why are you asking me this question? He said, because if you have cancer, we think you have the slow-moving cancer, or whatever it was. He gave me a name, I don't remember. But anyhow, he said, and you could live up to 10 years and not have any problems till the end. I go, whoa. It's quite a shock. I wasn't what I went in there for. I was just checking. And so it made me think. I said, well, yeah, my dad died at 56, and Uncle Such just died at 58, and Uncle Such died at 59, and Uncle Fred, he called me at my home, I'll never forget, he called me and says, I made it, Dave. He said, I'm 60 years old. 3 months later, he died of a massive heart attack. But you know, because of God and His love, I've probably eaten better than they do. Because I don't eat pork and stuff, and I don't smoke, you know. I never did. But the thing is, God directed me in a way to have better health. So I'm 76 now. So I'd say that God has blessed me quite a bit. I never expected to see my youngest daughter graduate, to be honest with you. I worried about that, thought about that. For a long time. Because when she graduated, I was 61 years old. And I kept asking God, I said, let me see my youngest one graduate. So when he did, I was pretty happy. But then he blessed me, I've got to see 7 grandchildren born now. And my oldest grandchild just graduated. So do I see why I should thank God? Do I see how that I'm not perfect? I've made my sins. I've had to repent many times. And so will you. We keep Passover every year. God created that first before we went to Days of Unleavened Bread for a reason. He wanted us to self-examine ourselves the best we could and jerk out anything that we hadn't thought about and ask Him to show us so that we can repent of it before we go to Passover. So when we walk out of Passover, we have a clean sheet. And then He teaches us 7 days by eating the unleavened bread to put sin out of our lives. Because He knows Satan is not going to quit. He knows how evil Satan is. And He knows how much He loves you and me. And He wants to prepare us the best He can. But you and I are blessed. We can never thank God enough. Even when we have our troubles, our trials. He tells us in Matthew, knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, I think it was in Matthew 7:7. Let me go there. It's not my notes. I better be moving on, hadn't I? You people got another 10 minutes? I'm sorry. I think it's Matthew 7:7, isn't it? That's the wrong one. Sorry, oh no, that's back here. Was it Fred? I know Fred knows off the hill. He's knocking, shall be open. Okay. That's all we have to do. We just have to knock on the door, pray. Say, hey God, I need help. 7:12. Oh, I was right. I just turned the wrong one. I didn't get there. Oh, yeah, there it is. I'm sorry. I went to 6. I was in 6. I couldn't figure out. I said, where's it at? I thought I knew it, but anyhow. Yeah, it says, asking it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks shall find, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. God's door is always open to you and me. And if we have to keep knocking, he'll answer. It may not happen the first time. Thing may not be removed first time. But we also have to develop patience. God knows what's best for you and me. We have to truly believe that. Because he loves each of us so much. Let's go back to Exodus 20. You know, these last 6 things are telling us how to love others. And if we do that, and we show love, we do not hold grudges. Yeah. Number 6. This is real simple. You shall not murder. Seems simple. Very few words. But as you know, we can murder someone in our mind and say, I hate that person. Oh, I can't stand that person. I don't want to be near that person. They can't be converted. Yeah, they can be because you and I have been converted. Everybody can be converted if we turn to God. But we have to control our thoughts. And he's telling us we're not to murder anybody. We're to love and to help people. Not to have evil thoughts, not to have evil ways. But to be as our loving God is, as God has been to you and me. Patient, kind, loving, forgiving. Blessed us in so many ways. Next one. Number 7. You shall not commit adultery. It's just like murder. If you commit adultery, you've come between a family. And God tells you that's not good for you, and it's not good for the family that you have disrupted. You're to love everyone. If you have love, you will not do that. If you're close to God, and that's in your mind, and you say, well, you know, I got to get rid of that evil thought. And that's where we take care of us in our mind before any action such as the murder or anything else. It gets in your mind before you do it. That's why we're supposed to have a pure heart, work towards a pure heart and a pure mind. Because that's what God is. Number 7, you shall not steal. Very simple. Don't take what's not yours. Respect what someone else has. Love someone else. Don't do something to them you wouldn't want them to do to you. Because in all these, you want them to do to you what he's telling you not to do, right? Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Boy, is that one that the world loves. And we've probably taken part of it in our own lifetime at times before we came in, and hopefully we caught ourselves if we do it afterwards. It's called gossip. It's called looking at someone's speck and you have a beam in your eye. We need to clear ourselves up. See what God expects. This time of year is before we come before God, getting ready to go to the Feast of Trumpets and keep God's feast holy days. We need to examine ourselves again. How are we doing? Because if we check ourselves and we get everything checked off and we get things taken care of, maybe we have a few things we need to work on, think how much happier and how much better God's feast will be. Because you have a clear heart, pure heart, and a pure mind. And going before the living God on his holy days. Number 10, you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. If people are doing well, we're not to be upset with them. A lot of people see people in the world, you see everybody who steals and kills and stuff. They see someone, well, I should have that. But they're not willing to work for it. And I heard years ago, I don't know if it's true or not, but they said, you know, some of the best crooks or the best crooks ever, they're the smartest people. But they use all that for evil. Now, I don't know if it's true. I remember hearing it about 15 years ago. I don't know where I heard it. I don't know if it was on TV or something. But somebody said that people who are into doing these things, you said, because you said, you think about what a person does when they do a bank robbery. What all they have to figure out and how to get everything on all around where they're at. I'd have no idea what to do myself. But they are willing to put forth the effort and the work and the ta-ta to do it. So they're wasting what? A beautiful mind. And let them go to jail. But you know, it's a blessing that you and I are here today and every Sabbath, every holy day. And I hope we appreciate Jesus Christ, our Savior, giving his life for us. Because he did it because he loved God and he loves us too. Are we growing that way so that we're willing to give for others? Are we letting God's love for us come in and we're becoming better? And our God doesn't change. Hebrews 13 tells us that, right? 8. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And someday, you and I are going to be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow in God's holy kingdom. I pray for each of us. You and I are going to be able to be in God's holy city. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem. In Revelations 1:4, we will be able to eat from the tree of life. And we'll be in God's family for eternity. That is what God's law wants for you and me.